Let us, therefore, strive with all courage, omitting attractions by the way. Let us struggle with a single purpose, lest, when we are left behind, we comprehend too late the speed of quick-flying time, whose course we cannot stay. Let every day, as soon as it comes, be welcome as being the choicest, and let it be made our own possession. We must catch that which flees. Now, he who scans with a scholar's eye the lines I have just quoted does not reflect that our first days are the best because disease is approaching and old age weighs upon us and hangs over our heads while we are still thinking about our youth. He thinks rather of Virgil's usual collocation of disease and eld, and indeed rightly, for old age is a disease which we cannot cure. Besides, he says to himself, think of the epithet that accompanies eld. Virgil calls it bitter. Disease and bitter eld succeed. And elsewhere, Virgil says, there dwelleth pale disease and bitter eld. There is no reason why you should marvel that each man can collect from the same source suitable matter for his own studies. For in the same meadow, the cow grazes, the dog hunts the hare, and the stork the lizard. When Cicero's book On the State is opened by a philologist, a scholar, or a follower of philosophy, each man pursues his investigation in his own way. The philosopher wonders that so much could have been said therein against justice. The philologist takes up the same book and comments on the text as follows. There were two Roman kings, one without a father and one without a mother, for we cannot settle who was Servius's mother, and Ancus, the grandson of Numa, has no father on record. The philologist also notes that the officer whom we call dictator, and about whom we read in our histories under that title, was named in old times the Magister Populi. Such is the name existing today in the augural records, proved by the fact that he whom the dictator chose as second in command was called Magister Equitum. He will remark, too, that Romulus met his end during an eclipse, that there was an appeal to the people, even from the kings. This is so stated in the Pontiff's Register, and is the opinion of others, including Fenestella. When the scholar unrolls this same volume, he puts down in his notebook the forms of words, noting that reapse, equivalent to reipsa, is used by Cicero, and sepse, just as frequently, which means seipse. Then he turns his attention to changes in current usage. Cicero, for example, says, inasmuch as we are summoned back from the very calx by his interruption. Now, the line in the circus, which we call the Crata, was called the calx by men of old time. Again, he puts together some verses by Ennius, especially those which referred to Africanus. A man to whom nor friend nor foe could give due meed for all his efforts and his deed. From this passage, the scholar declares that he infers the word opim to have meant formerly not merely assistance, but efforts. For Ennius must mean that neither friend nor foe could pay Scipio a reward worthy of his efforts. Next, he congratulates himself on finding the source of Virgil's words, over whose head the mighty gate of heaven thunders, remarking that Ennius stole the idea from Homer, and Virgil from Ennius, for there is a couplet by Ennius preserved in this same book of Cicero's On the State. If it be right for a mortal to scale the regions of heaven, then the huge gate of the sky opens in glory to me. But that I, too, while engaged upon another task, may not slip into the department of the philologist or the scholar, my advice is this, that all study of philosophy and all reading should be applied to the idea of living the happy life, that we should not hunt out archaic or far-fetched words and eccentric metaphors and figures of speech, but that we should seek precepts which will help us, utterances of courage and spirit which may at once be turned into facts. We should so learn them that words may become deeds. And I hold that no man has treated mankind worse than he who has studied philosophy as if it were some marketable trade, who lives in a different manner from that which he advises. For those who are liable to every fault which they castigate, advertise themselves as patterns of useless training.